Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the New York Giants in this Franchise Focus Podcast. Now, a little programming note here. This was slated to be the spot for the Minnesota Vikings. However, we've decided to push that back as long as we possibly can before we hear about any news with Adrian Peterson. It'll be a lot of speculation and all that stuff. So we'll let you know. Stay tuned to Twitter, where you can also give us your questions using the hashtag Franchise Focus, at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. Send future questions in there. And, of course, stay tuned to that for further announcements in terms of the order, because we have been working our way up from the bottom of the first round. But we're going to wait on the Vikings as long as we possibly can, as this will finish up our third week of the Franchise Focus Podcast. Next week will be the fourth and final week leading up to the Buccaneers at number one. So Vikings will be in there somewhere, but today we talk about the New York Giants. But before we even get to that, we got to talk about FanDuel.com, because MLB season is in full swing and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. And the entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today, and you can win tonight. You can pick a brand-new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. And, Joe, before we started recording today, you were mad about what was going on with your season-long team, and you don't have to worry about that with FanDuel.
No, I'm just absolutely sick injuries already. I'm sick of players getting off to a quiet start. The package the Houston Astros gave up for Evan Gattis was big, and the guy goes like 74 at-bats without a hit. If you're in FanDuel, you don't got to worry about that. Just play anybody who's hot, anybody who's cheap, or if you believe a guy like Gattis is going to rebound, get on him before his price skyrockets.
Hey, some people are already making money on opening day. Cal S. from Nashville, Tennessee. He cashed in a big way, $3,500. In fact, a little bit more than that on opening day alone. And if you want to get involved in that kind of winnings, well, do it right now, because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So we get into the New York Giants here, guys. And, you know, last season, not all that impressive at all. 6-10, third in the NFC East. But the offense did take steps forward. And it started with the new offense brought in by Ben McAdoo. Now, kind of a slow start. We were kind of wondering, questioning the play calling and how things were kind of getting put together. And we knew it would take some time for a new offense like this to kind of take shape and for everybody to pick it up. But once it happened, you saw Eli Manning kind of bounce back here. And it's been a couple of rough seasons leading into 2014 from Eli. But last season, a career-high 63.1% completion percentage through 601 passes for 4,400-plus yards, 30 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, way better than the 18-27 touchdown-to-interception ratio he had in 2013, averaged 21.9 fantasy points per game, and he was the number 10 quarterback. So a pretty good season there. In fact, his second-best fantasy season of his career after two bad years. And Joe, I know you had brought this up a lot, that, you know, Manning, because he's got a couple of Super Bowl rings, sometimes gets the benefit of the doubt, but you know, you had made it pretty clear, and the numbers were there. He was awful the two previous seasons. Not all on him, but, you know, he wasn't even useful for fantasy. Good bounce back year, though, in 2014.
This was not just my opinion as a fantasy guy. There were people around the league that we had talked to who said, hey, guys, we're not really sure how much longer Eli Manning has left. It just so happened that he just needed a little bit of a fresh start. And while I don't think you can proclaim Eli Manning in the elite quarterback tier, I think he's one of those few guys I think we would put in the good quarterback tier.
Happy to have him if you have him, certainly. Yeah,
more than happy to have him, but I don't think you put him in the Rodgers category. But a really nice year in an offense that should have fit his skill set. It took a little bit of time to get going. Lo and behold, once Odell Beckham got off the injured list, once he was able to get himself into the lineup, things really started to take off for Eli.
Yeah, they were an offense we kind of initially liked in the preseason. Then they got off to a really slow start. And then the first couple games, it's like, oh, is this ever going to come together? Then by, you know, about the fourth, fifth, sixth week of the season, it started to take off. And the seeds are there. We kind of like what we saw at the end of the year, especially with Odell Beckham, you know, kind of emerging as that superstar receiver in this offense. Now, Eli Manning kind of looks like he could be a bargain heading into fantasy draft.
Which starts because of Odell Beckham Jr. Yep. That, we don't know where we're at with Victor Cruz. He is very much a question mark
That's
right
now.
That's
a career-ending type of injury. I'm not saying Cruz is done, but Victor Cruz was a player who was struggling along with Eli Manning for the couple of years heading into that injury. A patellar tendon, I mean, there are very few injuries I want to hear about less than that.
Yeah,
it's as bad as it
gets. That injury saps all the strength out of the entire knee. So it can be even if it isn't career-ending, it could take a good, you know, 12 to 15 months for him to get fully back.
You know, we've seen a lot of these guys come back from ACLs and come back pretty strong. And I'm not going to generalize it. That can be a career-ending injury as well. But I think advancements have helped guys come back from that. This is
become like an 8 to 10-month injury.
Right. I mean, you kind of expect the guys to come back. You can't just group this in with other knee injuries. And it was, I mean, you could see the pain when it happened was a pretty big deal.
It's ACL, to make a baseball analogy, ACL is almost like a UCL injury, a Tommy John injury, where you're like, well, the guy's definitely out for a year, but it gives him a good shot to come back.
Right, and he can come back
strong
because you're strengthening,
or close to full strength. And as you said, these professional athletes are rehabbing and strengthening muscles that they really had never focused on before. And as we saw with Adrian Peterson, you can come back even stronger from that. Patellar tendon is almost like a shoulder for a pitcher. Where some guys come back, a lot of times they don't. It's never good to hear about the shoulder. It's never good to hear about the patellar.
The strength isn't necessarily there. You know, when you do these ACLs, you're reconstructing. You do these, you know, as Joe mentioned with the Tommy John. I mean, it's there to possibly give you even more strength because it's being rebuilt by someone. Patella, you're trying to put it back together, and yes, there's rebuilding, but you don't know if that strength is going to come back there. So a big question mark certainly for the Giants. And, I mean, remember, here's the deal with Beckham. We didn't see him in the preseason. He didn't practice. He didn't do anything. Nope. He doesn't play for the first four games. He comes out a little bit of a slow start, but that's okay, and then explodes. I mean, this is a guy that went from – we don't see him for the preseason and the first month of the season, and now we're talking first-round pick in fantasy. I mean, this was not
– he was the guy last year. He probably won more fantasy titles than any other player last year.
Did you trade for him? Did you hang on to him?
Right. He's a waiver wire guy.
That guy doesn't come around – every year, and you know
that happens once every 5 or 10 years.
I mean, not a guy to go, oh, he's a two, and he did a nice job. This was the best in football.
He went from potentially a waiver wire guy to number one receiver in football.
If you didn't get him, maybe you missed the waiver priority. Maybe you felt like you were good at receiver when Odell Beckham came out. And maybe you thought, and I think completely reasonably, that you have a guy who missed basically the entire preseason.
He's a rookie.
And the first 4 weeks of the regular season.
In a new offense.
Yes.
In a new offense as a rookie.
I mean, everything was working against him.
With a quarterback in Eli Manning who through the first month was still looking like he was struggling. Everything working against Odell Beckham.
And he still did it.
If you didn't pick up Odell Beckham, there's no way I can possibly chastise you.
There was more. If you did a little pro and cons chart, most of the things you'd be writing would be in the cons section because of everything we just mentioned there.
The pros were all his talent. And this was a player.
He's
a
first-round guy, of course.
But, look, he's a guy I will admit I didn't have on any season-long teams last year. It just didn't fall that way for me. It was a guy I overlooked because of the situation. And sometimes this is a perfect example of talent winning out, and he was the guy who really made the offense click.
He was a guy I had on one team. He was a 14-team player. I got squeezed with injuries the first 2 weeks of the year, and I'm like, I gotta drop this guy. And then it ended up burning me, obviously. Who would have guessed that he would be the, you know, the top fantasy winner of all fantasy football last year?
And he had the hamstring issue, which he said, by the way, at the Pro Bowl, still kind of lingered throughout the year. Now, you know, he's out there now. Teams know about him. And you can go, well, all right, they're going to be prepared for him. However, if he was that hot and got hotter, wouldn't maybe he slow down at the end of the season?
Yeah, he's
that
kinda,
didn't happen.
He's kind of like Antonio Brown in that way. He's kind of tough just to cover it that, anywhere on the field.
Well, the last four games of the season, 43-606-7, 36.6 fantasy points per game when you needed him the most. So he got better. Now, I know the Giants weren't going anywhere. Maybe, you know, the fact they were throwing as much as they did, 601 attempts for Eli Manning is part of it, but he fell below 20 fantasy points per game, 20 fantasy points, just five times. I mean, you could go over all the unbelievable numbers, 700-yard games, two more in which he scored at least a touchdown despite not getting 100 yards, fell below 10 just once in 12 games, fell below 20, as I said, just five times. He did everything you could possibly want from the guy, and he's a versatile player. According to Pro Football Focus, about a quarter of his targets came from the slot. He's a number one guy. And for the Giants, that's why we're talking up Eli Manning as a guy that, hey, if you want to wait on quarterback and maybe even wait a little bit longer, Eli's a guy that's going to probably be there in the ninth or tenth round. Now, in NFL 10s, Joe, where is he going at this point?
Well, let's give it a look-see here. Let me get to the quarterbacks. It's pretty good. Eli Manning is going off the board. Guess.
I'd just say 13th quarterback overall.
Right on the nose, 13th yeah. quarterback okay. overall, 114.4.
That's kind of been where he's been prior to last
10th
year.
10th round pick.
That seems like a pretty
you know,
decent value.
The highest pick for him so far in an NFL 10 is pick 77, which is a 7th round pick. And I can't even really complain too much about that if you think he's going to have a nice year with Beckham. He is a really good guy. If you're waiting on your quarterback, even if he slips into like that 10 range, like if you wanted to take Eli over Stafford, Tannehill, Romo, who are the three going right in front of him, I really wouldn't have an objection to that.
They're all pretty close, yeah. right?
And I like the addition of Shane Vereen to this passing game. That's going to help, you know, diversify. You know, Peyton. Eli really hasn't had that great back to really throw to, you know, in the last few years. So that makes the offense a little more diverse as well.
Before we jump into the running backs, in terms of Cruz being a big question mark here, you know, Reuben Randall was really just, you know, a guy who took it and didn't really take advantage, but was given more opportunities because they didn't really have
He's
anybody
as frustrating
else.
Frustrating a fantasy player as there is because you can't just forget about him.
No,
and he does have his games. This isn't like Justin Hunter last year, where it's a talented guy who just couldn't get his head screwed on straight, was caught like 25 passes, and you can be like, all right, I took that shot. It didn't work out. I can drop him.
Hunter was on a bad team, and I'm not the Giants are good, but at least their offense was good, so you can understand. And the thing with Randall, as you mentioned here, Joe, the opportunities were still there. His last two games of the season against the Rams, which was a huge game for Odell Beckham Jr., Randall in that game had 6 for 132 with a touchdown on six targets, and then against the Eagles in Week 17, a meaningless game for both teams, 6 for 158 on 13 targets. So, yeah, he frustrated at times, but he did have three games over 100 yards, two of them come in the final 2 weeks of the season. He got over 80 another game. But, I mean, you see the targets, 10, 10, 10. I mean, he had a double-digit target seven times, but from weeks 9 through 15, he had double-digit fantasy points just once. So the opportunities were there, but he drove you nuts.
And like we were saying earlier in the podcast, Cruz is definitely a major question mark this year. So those opportunities could very well be there again for Randall, at least early in the year.
Yeah. I took Randall in my latest NFL 10, and, you know, I kind of got a conniption when I did it. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I really didn't feel great about picking Reuben Randall. But, guys, I got to tell you, if the opportunity is going to be there, Reuben Randall was eighth in red zone targets among wide receivers. Of course, he turned just three of them into touchdowns.
Right.
But he had 21 targets in the red zone. I mean, that's a lot of opportunity. He's a big guy. Eli throws him the ball. You're just baffled by the inconsistency, the inefficiency, the fact that he lands in the doghouse. Remember a couple of times he didn't start. They threw Corey Washington out there. I struggle with Randall because he's been sort of productive. And you look at the position as a whole, and you're like, I'm not sure the Giants have a real need there because of Beckham and Randall. But you really would like to see him put it together a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, there's flashes there. There's opportunity there. That's the thing. Yeah. He's getting that where, you know, you wonder some young guys who are in bad spots. You mentioned Justin Hunter not getting opportunities, or because he's on a bad team, the fact that he doesn't put it together gets magnified. Well, Randall, you know, hasn't put it all together, but the opportunities kind of have to keep coming because of the situation the Giants were in. Yeah. You know, Preston Parker, Corey Washington, they signed Ogletree, they signed Dwayne Harris. Not exactly guys that should really press Ruben Randall if he gets his stuff together.
Dwayne Harris is interesting in that he's kind of the cruise insurance. He's somebody who can play in the slot, return kicks. I wonder if Randall's role is going to drop, though. Listen to this stat, guys, and this one is really interesting. According to Pro Football Focus, only five receivers ran more routes than Randall. Four of them ranked in the top 15 in PPR leagues. The other was Sammy Watkins, who was a rookie on a bad offense. Not a bad team, but a bad offense. Randall was 40th in PPR fantasy points per game. So there was a big inefficiency to Ruben Randall's game.
Now, as Tom mentioned, they added Shane Vereen, and you know they had Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams. So, first of all, let's talk about what the combination of Jennings and Williams did, because it was kind of one of those situations, almost reminded me a little bit of Joik Bell a couple years ago in Detroit, where if you're looking at Andre Williams' numbers, it was all about looking at the game logs, because it was all about Rashad Jennings, and early on, he looked like one of the best signings of the offseason for fantasy. And
then he did what Rashad Jennings
does.
Yes,
he got hurt. Yeah, that's what the problem is. And it's been like that his whole career. He's never really dominated, but he played in 11 games, 167 carries, 639 yards, four touchdowns, just 3.8 yards per carry. 30-226 on 41 targets. Didn't score a touchdown there through the air. Averaged 12.8 fantasy points per game. He was the number 19 running back at the position. Got off to a hot start, 90 touches, number 9 among running backs, 16.1 fantasy points per game over the first four games. Then the sprained knee keeps him out till week 11. So he's out from week 5, happens in week 5, to week 11. When he comes back, they throw him back in there, 26 touches per game he averaged from weeks 11 through 13. Then he gets the ankle sprain. And if you remember when he got the ankle, it was, is he playing? He had that game where he was active and didn't do anything. And you're going, what's the split going to be? And it just drove you nuts. And it drove you nuts because Andre Williams didn't do a hell of a lot when Jennings was out initially. So you're going, well, Rashad's back. They have to give him a chance. And then it's, well, looks like they're going to stick with Williams. Now, you go into this year, and you have Jennings, you have Andre Williams, who played better at the end of the season. But you remember what happened when Jennings went down originally? They didn't trust Andre Williams enough, and they kept Peyton freaking Hillis in the mix.
Well, there's a reason they didn't trust Andre Williams.
It's not very good.
Frankly, I don't think he's any good. The numbers for Andre Williams are, I mean, these are Trent Richardson-level bad numbers. Ooh, 216 carries for 720 yards, 7 touchdowns, but 3.3 yards per carry. He converted just 18 of his 37 targets into receptions. And this doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me about that number is how many targets he saw.
Yeah.
This guy cannot catch a football. It's unbelievable for a professional football player to not catch the ball the way Andre Williams does. It's just baffling.
And I'll note here that, you know, at the beginning of the season, your targets are 1-4-0, 1-2-0, 3-1. And then from week 10 on, 5-2-2, 3-5-4-1-3. He was getting more involved almost out of necessity at that point. But as you said, not his game. Now, do we feel any better about Andre Williams when you look at the end of the season? Week 14 against Tennessee, 24-131 with a touchdown. Then he goes 18 for 44 against Washington, then back to 26 for 110 against the Rams, and then 15 for 43 with a touchdown against the Eagles. So it was a little bit better at the end, but
remember he had a long touchdown run against the Titans,
right,
which was like, I mean, I'm talking maybe the greatest display of defensive incompetence.
They had a terrible schedule down there. I mean, a good fantasy schedule.
Right.
They were playing some terrible teams down the stretch, too.
The Titan run, the fact that you can have a long touchdown run as Andre Williams against your defense, that is
not his game.
News.
Not what you expect from him.
Here's the problem with Williams that I noticed when watching him. He's got good power, but he needs room to pick up a head of steam. In the NFL, it doesn't matter if you've got good power on the inside if you can't pick up a head of steam because you're just not going to go anywhere.
So kind of remind you of Monty Ball a little bit in that idea, maybe?
Monty Ball's more talented.
Yeah. Way more talented.
Well, talent, I'm saying, but it like needing like Monty Ball just kind of plugs forward and whatever's there, he gets now, it, and it doesn't necessarily go far. That kind of reminds me of Andre Williams.
Was really good in short at the goal line.
Right.
11 carries inside the five. Six of them were touchdowns. No player with 10 or more carries inside the five turned a higher percentage into touchdowns than Williams. So there's something there. And I would really doubt that the Giants are going to make a major addition to this backfield in the draft.
Well, they pick up Vereen, but that's a different role. We'll get to that in a second, because now I believe with that stat that you mentioned there, and I don't think that's going to change, because we actually saw Williams get looks when Jennings was healthy at the goal line, that the Jennings-Williams backfield combination will probably be more of a headache for us than anything else.
The whole backfield's going to be a headache.
But at least Vereen's got a role.
Vereen is added to this, but doesn't this feel like a Patriots backfield all of a sudden now a little bit? I mean, it's just one that I don't really want a part of unless I could get Williams or Vereen at a cheap cost, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know what the ADP says with those guys. But
well, let's Vereen gets a 3-year deal worth $12 million, $5 million guaranteed. I feel like they're going to be smarter than the Patriots were at least last year in terms of, okay, he's our pass catcher. We know we can rely on him in that role. As you mentioned, where Eli, it helps on a team that, you know, we'll get into Larry Donnell in a second, but he's not that exciting of a player.
And the they offensive have ODB. Line has struggled, right. too, so, you know
having that check down. Yes, yes. I think Vereen will be at least easier to figure out. I think you go in through the season considering him a number three of flex, and that's what you expect him to be. Jennings and Williams, you know, I think you'd like one of them to emerge as a number two, but they're probably going to be better off just going, all right, maybe I throw one in as a two here and there, but I'm not expecting much. I don't expect these guys to be consistent for me because the other one's in the backfield.
I guess if I was going to roll the dice with one of them, it would be Williams just because of Jennings' injury history. But other than that, though, you don't feel great about a guy. He's not a special player. He does well at the goal line, but he's not going to help you in PPR formats. It's just a situation that doesn't look like a winning situation for fantasy.
The Giants have never really had this guy in Vereen during the Eli era. So I am intrigued by him here. And the money they paid him, I think it tells
you they're going to use him.
You know, and does Coughlin with that veteran stuff stuck in his head? No, all right, I know where he's played for Belichick. I know he can do this. I know I can trust him. You know, I actually kind of feel good about Vereen. Now, in terms of Joe, their draft statuses right now and where they're going, let's start with the big guys first, and Jennings and Andre Williams. By the way, when you're looking that up, you would think that Jennings' role as a pass catcher, which definitely helped his fantasy value, maybe they get that right. They bring in Vereen. Yes.
It's fascinating. People are worried about Rashad Jennings.
Honestly.
I mean, the guy doesn't stay healthy, but he was fantasy productive last year. He's going off the board on average as the 33rd running back, 88.2 fantasy pick, which makes him about a 7th, 8th round pick.
I'd be okay with that.
That's pretty fair. I'd okay with that. Vereen on average is actually going ahead of him.
I thought so.
But like we were saying, he has a clear role.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, he can catch 65, 70
Andre
balls.
Williams
I didn't expect that.
Is going at 38. So you've got three guys literally
all in the same
going within 10 picks of each other, with 10 running backs of each other, rather. So
people are rolling the dice there. That's just a roll of dice.
So what are the
Where
are the overall picks for these guys?
Okay, so Andre Williams is 105.6. That makes him a 9th rounder. Jennings is 88.2, which makes him a 7th, 8th rounder. And Vereen is 76.85, which makes him a 6th, 7th. Some of those were Patriot picks with Vereen, maybe assuming he'd go somewhere else. I can't imagine it affected his draft status that much, because wherever he was going, he was going to be the same type of player. I got to tell you, I kind of like Williams better in this format, because you don't have to worry about picking him up. And when Rashad Jennings inevitably gets hurt, Williams is a lead back. Maybe you benefit from those three games.
Well, we got a question on Twitter here from Truck. Do you feel Andre Williams will be a great draft value since he will fall in drafts with the Vereen signing? And he mentions Rashad Jennings will get hurt 100%. I think you built
that
in.
Doesn't look like he's falling, though. I mean, I would say that probably is about where he was going to go. I don't see much value there right now.
By the way, because Vereen's here, I seriously doubt Williams is going to get that many pass catching opportunities.
No, I wouldn't think that at all. I don't think Jennings is going to get that many because that'll be a way to keep him healthy.
Williams is a low upside type of guy. If you can get him in the 9th, 10th round, he's your fourth
running
back. Just hope
that Jennings gets hurt.
You know, yeah, that's fine.
I think what you're looking for in kind of this format like this is, you know what? I'll get the guy in the backfield that has a good chance of getting the goal line carry. So I'll steal 6 points that way, you know, with that 1 yard touchdown, something like that. I like Vereen in that spot a lot. And, you know, as someone who has been all over waiting on a number two running back and just getting a group of guys, if he's going in the 7th round in a PPR, I'll take that all day long.
He definitely has the most upside in that backfield, I think. Just for the PPR. Are they going to design more plays for him? You know,
well, as you mentioned,
he was underused last year with the Patriots. So, you know.
You never knew when he was going to get on the field. I think we have a pretty good idea. As I said, I think there's that veteran thing that Tom Coughlin loves to always fall back. Oh, I can trust him. I know where he's coming from. You did mention the O-line issues. I think that could certainly help Vereen. And obviously, where Cruz is at. And we talked about Reuben Randall. You know, the touches were there and the targets were there, but he didn't always come through on them. In fact, didn't come through on them a lot of the time. So does that make Vereen more important to this offense? I think they're intriguing. And finally, Larry Donnell here, guys, came out of absolutely nowhere. It was just kind of a guy, to be honest here. We know he's not that good of a player, but up and down season, nobody knew of him. The fact that he did finish among a fantasy starting caliber tight end last year, number 11, in where he finished, 63, 623, 6 on 92 targets, 68.5 catch rate for him. I mean, for a guy that came out of nowhere, you can't get mad at that. He was the number 11 tight end at 10.1 fantasy points per game, 22 red zone targets last year. I believe that was number one at the position. In fact, it was ahead of Jimmy Graham, ahead of Bennett, ahead of Gronk. That's a nice number to see.
He's one of those guys, though, who just saying where he finished at the end of the year is misrepresenting his season. Yeah. Because of the huge game against Washington, he had he was the number 4 fantasy tight end at 18.2 fantasy points per game after the first 4 games of the season. He was number 22 the rest of the way. So he was a plug-em-in guy if you needed him. And look, I was screwed on a couple teams at the tight end position, and I had him.
Great.
Wasn't
early
really
in the year.
Doing much for me late in the year, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, he didn't have more than 55 yards after week 7
and
in the game.
That's 4 fumbles. That's not gonna make you look very good with Tom Coughlin. That's right, yeah. So I mean, kind of just a guy. Does he do more in his third NFL season? I don't know if we're all that excited about him. I think it was nice to see where he finished last year because he came out of nowhere. And as you said, you plugged him in for a time, you were happy with it, and then he fell off. I mean, this is not a guy we should be too excited about. So, I mean, this is an intriguing offense. We'll see where Cruz is at. You're still pumped up about Odell Beckham Jr. By the way, where is he going in NFL 10s? Because I know some people are having no problems thinking he's the number one wide receiver.
Then there's people who are like, well, I think there's a justifiable faction of people who are like, he is a smaller receiver. Those guys are a little bit more volatile than the bigger guys.
I see that totally opposite. I feel I have no problem with anybody taking Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham 1 and 2 because they seem to be failure-proof.
Different.
I mean,
they're different.
They seem like 10 fantasy points in a PPR. They seem like a lock for that every year, every week.
Beckham is going off the board on average as the second wide receiver.
Yep.
Average pick of 6.56, which makes him the 6th overall. I think if I could get him there, I'd probably be thrilled.
Who's number one? Brown?
Brown is number one at receiver, just about a full pick ahead of him. And then the 4 guys in front of him are 3 running backs and a tight end.
Okay.
Who are the running backs?
Bell, Lacy, and Charles.
I take all them over Beckham. I get that. But having questions. I think that's fair. And he's like, as you said, he's a different kind of guy. Like a Brown. They don't go, oh, he's built like Calvin Johnson or Brandon Marshall or any of these big wide receivers on the – he's different than that, and that's a good thing.
And
we want that.
And those offenses, they're going to get Beckham and Brown the ball every game.
And
they're going to design plays for them.
And there's big plays, and there's catches. It's not just, well, he's a guy down the field, he's going to get touchdowns, but he might only catch 70 passes.
Yeah.
There's big plays, and there's catches to be had.
I don't see him disappearing every other game.
And they need him. And now, where do we, as we get into draft needs for this team, they tried to rebuild the back end with the cornerback position, and it fell apart because of injuries. You know, pass rush, okay. Jason Pierre-Paul gets the franchise tag on a bounce-back year, but this defense still needs help. And that was part of the reason that Eli was throwing 601 passes last season, because the defense didn't help them out all that much.
Not really a good defense. Is JPP, by the way, the guy who finished the season on a tear over the last month, or is he the guy he's been for the last 3 years, inconsistent, oft injured? They're taking a gamble there.
Were you surprised he got the franchise tag somewhat at that number?
Yeah, he would have gotten paid seriously.
Okay.
I think maybe a little.
I don't blame them. I mean, they saw what he did at the end of the year. Maybe they think he's finally turned the corner with his, you know, his back
health,
issues.
Right.
The Giants are kind of a superficial team. I think they're pretty good at the skill positions. Their offensive line stinks, and their defense stinks. And their secondary, you've got Prince and DRC at corner, but not a ton of depth there. J'Ron Hosley.
Look at free safety. They currently don't have a free safety on the roster.
So they can use, but who are you going to draft?
Yeah, who are you drafting? That's a problem.
A lot of great safety drops.
Jalen Collins is not a free safety.
Oh.
So this team needs a lot of help, but I think for fantasy they could be pretty damn good.
Oh, they'll be fun for fantasy.
Yeah, let's hope that defense continues to stink because we like what can happen on the offense and the volume that we can get. Certainly, we're feeling a lot better about this Giant offense going into 2014 compared to the question marks we had.
Game.
Yeah, compared to 2014, it's better. I think the run game as a whole, in reality, will probably be pretty sour.
Yeah, right, but
for fantasy, it's going to probably drive us nuts. Yes, I agree. So, interesting year for the Giants. In a division where I think you'd still probably say they're the third best team, you put them ahead of Washington, but, you know, behind the Eagles and definitely behind the Cowboys as well.
There's still some bad defenses in that.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that for fantasy. So probably a better team for fantasy than reality, but we'll certainly take that. As we said, if you want to get your questions in, we took one on the podcast here today. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us. At Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. We'll answer them for you. Reactions to this podcast, or maybe you have a question on an upcoming podcast. As we said, we still have the Falcons, the Bears, the Jets, Redskins, Raiders, Jacksonville, the Titans, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as I said, we'll work in the Vikings. We'll push that back as long as we can in the final week, try to wait on the Peterson situation to maybe resolve itself. And we're not saying it's going to. I got a Twitter question about that saying, is it going to be done by next week when you do these? Not necessarily, but we're going to push it back as far as we can. So we're not speculating because that is certainly a big-time player that could change a lot
of
things.
Yeah, we'll just have to have a big asterisk at the beginning of the podcast there with that one.
Pretty much. I mean, that's all we can do with it now. I mean, we can only speculate so much. We'll try to push it back as much as we can. They're obviously going to come out of order. But that finishes up this week, our final week coming up of the Franchise Focus podcast. And another reminder about FanDuel.com with MLB season in full swing. You want to sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at $1, at just $1. And you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. And, you know, maybe if you're on a traveling day or, you know, you get the businessman special at the afternoon games, you want to jump in on that slate. You know, you can kind of pick and choose when you want to jump in based on the slate of games. And, you know, if you're playing your season-long leagues, Tom, sometimes you go, hell, half my guys aren't playing tonight. I can't win with this.
I have a team tonight. They don't have a starting pitcher. I want to watch somebody. I want to watch one of my players pitch, so I can go get the FanDuel team and get a pitcher.
Garrett from Denver cashed in on opening day. He won $660 his net winnings on opening day. And you want to get involved in this action because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GOO. Guru and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.COM. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. And speaking of signing up, by the end of April, the early bird special will be done at FantasyGuru.com. So you still got a little time to jump in. $5 off the regular price. You can get in now at $24.95 for the 2015 season. And it's the NFL offseason. We're gearing up for the draft, but we have plenty of content going up. The guys did the pre-draft rookie report. John Hansen and Greg Cosell recorded two big podcasts recently, the pre-draft rookie report podcast and the post-free agency podcast. Obviously, all of these podcast as well. The post-draft rookie report coming up. A lot more coming your way. Also, check out Mike Horn's offensive identity series. He's looking at the coaches joining new teams and breaks down each position to give you an idea of where these positions could be under these new coaches. A lot of good stuff in there. A lot of visual representation to give your eyes a little something to grasp onto looking at these new coaches in their new spots. So that'll do it for this edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening and being with us right here at FantasyGuru.com.